Welcome back to the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. My name is Chris, and we are on episode 24. Today we're going to be talking about rabbit ear mites. It's not very exciting, but at the end, I'll make up for it with a really exciting announcement. Dun, 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 just wait. It'll be exciting. I'm excited about it. And hopefully you will be too. Don't forget to go to havenhomestead.com. That's our website, havenhomestead.com. There you can find all of our past podcast episodes. You can find out events that are coming up. You can find out about some of the handicrafts we offer. Also about our bed and breakfast we have here. And so you can find all that at havenhomestead.com. Also, please consider supporting us at Patreon. That is P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/havenhomestead. And there you can support the show and keep us moving along here at, you know, as little as a dollar a month. When you become our supporter, you get certain perks that other people don't get. Come on out, check out the goodies we have there, and be our supporter. We appreciate it. So we'll move on to the ear mites in rabbits. So I just went out, and this is going to be a short episode because I just made a video on treating ear mites in rabbits. And I talked about the ear medication that we make, how we make it. It's natural, and it's soothing for the rabbits' ears and smothers the mites and helps them out without having that nasty vermicide or whatever it is, the insecticide, I think it is. Well, let's just talk about what are mites first. So I went on to petmd.com. I just searched Google on rabbit ear mites, and the PetMD was one of the first hits there. So I opened that up, and it has a really good short article on ear mites. And so that's where I get kind of some of this information here. The parasite that, or ear mites, the scientific name is Soroptis cuniculus. They get in ears, they get one ear, get in two ears, they get in after they infect an ear, then they can move on to other parts that are warm and might have some dead skin build up on your rabbits, and they'll infest those areas too. The main symptom that rabbits have is they'll have a flaky skin in their ears. Sometimes they'll have red spots, or they'll have, you know, they'll be shaking their head back and forth and scratching at their ear a lot. And that's when you need to look and see, need to make sure that they're not getting a ear mite infestation. So if the infestation starts to get bad, the little ear mites will get in there and start feeding on the skin cell, the dead skin flakes as they die and poop, and all their waste and stuff starts building up in the rabbit's ear. It makes it really flaky, and then soon, if you don't take care of it, their ear is going to be really bad off. And our male rabbit, his infection has got a little out of hand, but we've treated it and we've got the ear mites on the run, so I think that we're in the clear. But early prevention is the best defense in this scenario. If you don't get it cleaned out, then there could be hearing loss. They could have their inner ear damaged from the mite activity. So you know, when ears get damaged, the inner ear gets damaged, and balance could be damaged. And just got to get that taken care of. Get the infestation taken care of early on. I've had ear mite problems in my rabbits after they get to about a year, maybe a year and a half. I haven't really seen them in much younger rabbits, but I've heard you can get them in any age of rabbits, you know, have a bad infestation. I've only seen that in my adult breeding rabbits. They spread like crazy. I was on the internet the other day and looking for breeding services on Craigslist, and someone said, don't bring your rabbits if they have any sign of mites. I think that's because they're trying to keep the mites away from their rabbits, because it's one of the most common things that rabbits can share back and forth. That, you know, they get them from the pet store. I'm sure they have mites on them. If you get them from another rabbit breeder, good chance there's your mites with them. So, and they seem to just kind of show up. I don't know if they get them from their mom or what the case is, because all of our cages didn't have any rabbits in them for a long time, years. And then when we got rabbits, we put them in there, and they all had got mites. So the mites didn't come from the cage. I'm sure they came from wherever our rabbits, we bought our first rabbits from, and it's just kind of been a cycle sort of thing. So, but when we kill them off, and then they're gone for the mites, then they're gone for a good long time. And usually one rabbit, I think we've had one rabbit that had ear mites twice, but they usually, once you get rid of them, they're gone for a good long time. And rabbits don't typically, breeding rabbits don't typically live that long, you know, for meat rabbits, that is. They don't live that long. Maybe 2-3 years is probably as long as they're going to live anyways, and they don't get that many infections. So I know it's case by case, and some people keep pet rabbits. They live longer. That's not what we're doing here on the homestead. The mites can live in the wood of the cages. It can live in the straw. It can live in lots of different. They say wire cages are the best for keeping ear mites down, because they don't have any place to lay low and hide out. So that's also something to keep track of, or keep in mind. So I'll tell you how I made my rabbit ear medicine. What I did is I took 3/4 of the, we have a little bottle, you can see it on the video that's going to be on YouTube. I'll release the video and this podcast at the same time so that you can just check over and see it, and I'll probably put a link on the show notes as well so you can see the video that I made. The bottle we have is a little dropper bottle, and I put about 3/4 of it full of extra virgin olive oil. 1/4 of it had apple cider vinegar, there's no more to the whole, but then I put about 5 or 6 drops in there of camphophenique, which is a camphor and phenol. It's called camphophenique. It's a pain and itch reliever, but it's also got eucalyptus oil and a little bit of mineral oil in there. So you know, both of those, all that stuff is good for the rabbit ears. And what the oil does is when you put the rabbit ear medication in, the oil coats and smothers the mites. And then the apple cider vinegar helps to break stuff down, and the camphophenique soothes everything to make sure that they're, you know, it's not like putting something harsh like tea tree oil in there, because I've had tea tree oil around my eyes before, if I had skin irritations, you know, on my face, and it is really a strong oil. So I've done a tea tree lavender mix before, but I just don't want to have anything that's too harsh, so I went with this camphophenique. You treat them, put a couple drops in each ear, and they'll shake their head around and coat everything, and then after a couple days, you put in more drops, and then after a couple days after that, you do that for a few weeks. They say that that 28 days is the cycle of the ear mite. So if you wait a month, or you wait, 3 weeks and do it again, and do it at the end of the month or something like that, you should have killed all of the adults and babies. So that is the, just treat often, and you'll have the mites taken care of lickety-split no time. That is, I think, everything on ear mites. If you have any questions on the ear mites, or you have any suggestions on ear mites, please feel free to comment on our website, or if you see the video on Facebook, or if you see the video on YouTube, comment in any of those places. We get notified of all those comments, so we look forward to hearing from you. Also, I did have a comment come through. Jennifer in Utah, she said that it was episode 23, I think it was Predators in the Garden or Predators on the Homestead. And she said that the predators that really affect her on her property in Utah is grasshoppers, that they'd come in and eat all of her market garden vegetables. So she noticed that they like to eat comfrey more than the other the vegetables. So she planted comfrey around the garden as a sacrificial plant so that the grasshoppers will eat the comfrey and leave her vegetables alone. And she said she hardly had any damage whatsoever on any of her market garden stuff because of the sacrificial plant. So that is a really clever way to do it. And thank you for the comment. And now we've helped other people know something they can do if they live in a arid sort of climate. Now it's time for the announcement. Dun da da dun. We are going to be having a workshop in October, October 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2017. We're going to be having a 3-day intensive homesteading and sustainable living workshop. It's going to be held here on Haven Homestead. We're going to have classes such as pruning and orchard management, gardening classes, animal processing to include chicken and rabbits, and raising. Of course, you don't have to be there for the processing if you don't want to, but that's something that we're putting on. How to get into the DIY mindset. Lindsay can present about her book she wrote about getting in the right mindset to be a successful DIYer. That means do-it-yourselfer. How harvesting in the garden and in the wild. We're gonna see if we can get some opportunity to go harvest some things that we have around here. Wild crafting and gleaning. Also gonna do some food preservation classes, some homestead business classes. It's gonna be a very full 3 days, and the price for the whole workshop is $500 per person and $1,200 per family. And there will be child care and child classes. We're going to have someone come out to take care of the kids and have a discovery day sort of classes with some healthy snacks and things like that. So if you're a family and you're wondering, you're not going to be able to go because you got kids, we got you covered. We're also going to have a seed swap, and we're limiting this class. It's not going to be a huge class. We're going to limit it to 10 people. That doesn't include the kids, but 10 adults. And we will have places for you to stay here. The prices include food, lodging, the goodie basket, takeaway sort of things, plus all of the class supplies and the teachers, the instructors. That's the last. So we're really excited about it. This is our first workshop. We've been talking about doing it for a long time, and we've been wanting to do it for a long time, and finally we are taking that step. So we only have 10 spots available, as I said, so you really got to jump on this early, because when they're gone, they're gone, and you're going to have to wait till next year for our next workshop, which we're hoping will be next year in the springtime. I'm not sure about dates or anything like that, and it's not really an official announcement. I'm just planning that we'd like to do another workshops depending on how this one goes. If it's just too much, then we might not, but I think that we're gonna love it. I love talking about homesteading, I like teaching about homesteading, and I like people. We can put that all together and have a great class. That is that. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact us through email or on our website. Haven Homestead is probably the best place to send us your questions and comments on that. And the registration will open on July 10th. that's when registration will open, and when the 10 spots are taken, they're taken. That's our class, or that's our workshop. I look forward to seeing you out there, and I expect that we're going to have a really good time. Once again, this has been the Haven Homestead Podcast, where we learn and grow together on our way to living more sustainable lives. Thanks for listening.